चंद्रस्य निरंजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासवि गौर भक्तवृंद, हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्री प्रभुपाद की जाय, श्री गुरुदेव की जाय, गौर भक्तवृंद की जाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम Krishna is the source of all incarnations, the title of this chapter. First canto, third chapter, third verse. I'll read line by line in Sanskrit if you'd like to follow. Yasya vayava samsthanahai.
Yasya vayava samsthanayaha.
Kalpito loka vistaraha.
Kalpito loka vistaraha.
Tadvai bhagavato rupam.
Tadvai bhagavato rupam.
Vishuddham sattva urchitam.
Vishuddham sattva urchitam.
Yasya hus. Avya, avayava, bodily expansion, samsthanai, situated in Kalpita, is imagined local planets of inhabitants, vistara, various tattvai, but that is bhagavataha, or the personality of Godhead, rupam, form, vishuddham, purely, sattvam, existence, urjitam, excellence. Yasya vayava samsthanai, kalpito loka vistara, tadvai bhagavato rupam vishuddham sattva urjitam. It is believed that all the universal planetary systems are situated in the extensive body of the Purusha, but he has nothing to do with the created material ingredients. His body is eternally in spiritual existence par excellence. Kristen, do you like to read? Would you like to read the purport? Do you have a microphone?
Yes, she has. She can speak. Just unmute it.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
But go ahead.
We're on the purport. Would you like to read the purport? Have you read before? Have
no.
You read the bot? Huh? You have not read?
No.
Maybe the words will be a little difficult for you. You're not familiar with that.
Then go ahead.
About Sundargopala. Okay. You listen. Sundargopala is offline now. Okay. All right, then. Kartik, would you like to read the purport?
Yes, Maharaj.
Thank you.
The conception of the Virat Roop or Vishwa Roop of the Supreme Absolute Roop is especially meant for the neophyte who can hardly think of the transcendental form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. To him, a form means something of this material world, and therefore an opposite conception of the absolute is necessary in the beginning to concentrate the mind on the power extension of the Lord. As stated above, the Lord extends his potency in the form of the Mahatattva, which includes all material ingredients. The extension of power by the Lord and Lord himself personally are one in one sense, but at the same time, the Mahatattva is different from the Lord. Therefore, the potency of the Lord and the Lord are simultaneously different and non-different. The conception of the Virat Rupa, especially for the impersonalist, is thus non-different from the eternal form of the Lord. The eternal form of Lord exists prior to the creation of the Mahatattva. And it is stressed here that the eternal form of the Lord is par excellence spiritual or transcendental to the modes of material nature. The very same transcendental form of Lord is manifested by his internal potency. And the formation of his multifarious manifestations of incarnations is always of the same transcendental quality without any touch of the Mahatattva.
I'm just waiting.
Alright. Thank you. So the Virata Rupa or the Visha Rupa, the universal form of the Lord. Sometimes for the visualization of the devotee, not very capable of understanding the transcendental form of the Lord. Sometimes this visual form of the Lord is presented. That the Lord is very big, big as the universe, and the whole universe is resting in him. All the different planets and so forth, from foot to head, from head to foot. We can imagine the different planets being situated in the body of the Lord. Therefore, getting some idea, giving some idea to the conditioned living entity, that he may have some vision, visual representation of how our Lord is there and everything is situated in him. So everybody thinks in the material conceptual life, everybody thinks in terms of space and time, that everything is situated in space and time. So we have that idea very easily by our sense experience. The ordinary consciousness conceives that everything is existing in space and time. So whatever is in space, then we can understand what it means to be in something, to be in space, or to be in time. That also gives us an idea of what it means to be in, to exist in something. So like that, if one can get an idea of God as a gigantic form, universal form, and that everything is existing in that, then they may have some conception of what it means to exist in God. Of course, that idea, the true idea of in being in Krishna or in God, is not a spatial and temporal idea. It's an idea, but it's not spatio-temporal. And not a physical thing. Our constitutional nature, the nature of consciousness, is to be in the Supreme Consciousness. It's a little bit different idea and a little difficult to understand because it doesn't have any material representation. One has to go beyond the material representation to understand in what sense we are in Krishna, we are in God. We belong to him. We are part and parcel. It requires a more philosophical understanding. And beyond that, even philosophical, a transcendental understanding. Just like when you say you are in love. When you are in love with someone, what does that mean? Can't be understood merely in terms of space and time. Has a different dimension to it. the same time, Devarat Rup is not merely imaginary. The Mahavishnu is given, it sounds like imaginary story or mythology, to say that the Mahavishnu is lying down in the causal ocean and producing from himself all the universes, all the planetary systems. That is not imaginary, although it sounds quite unusual, non-ordinary to us, supernatural, beyond natural. Definitely that is supernatural. But at the same time, it is not false. That representation, that conception, is there in reality. It is part of the absolute truth. That beyond the spiritual world, there is also the material creation produced by the Mahavishnu, which is also the Virat. Not exactly the Virat, but something like that. And he is not a material being, although he is producing the material worlds, he is not himself material. Something like, and it said that when the dust is in the air, we think the air is dusty. When the dust is blowing in the air, we say the air is dusty. But the air doesn't get dusty. Air is air, and the dust is simply intermingling with the air. Dirt, earth, and air don't mix like that. Just like oil and water. The oil never dissolves in the water. The water never dissolves in the oil. They always maintain their separate identity. Or we say the sky is cloudy. Clouds are made of moisture, and the air is there also. So the moisture creates the clouds, and the air is something different from that. So the air doesn't become cloudy in that sense. Or the sky. The sky doesn't become cloudy. But we think like that. We don't make the distinction. Similarly, the Lord creates the material energy, but he is not touched by that material energy. He is something different from that. Material energy rests in the Lord, Mahavishnu. But at the same time, he is transcendental to that, not touched by that. But it appears to be only. Appears to be different than what it is. Just like, has anyone who's listening seen the sun? Have I seen the sun? Can anyone tell me?
I've seen.
Ah, you've seen it.
I was trying to see the sun from there, from the day I saw morning, and I was suddenly lost.
Huh? What was that?
You've seen the sunlight, Maharaj.
You've seen it?
Sunlight.
I understand that it's the light.
The light. You've seen the light.
Yeah.
Have you seen the sun? I'm asking, has anyone seen it?
I've seen a glowing object.
Seen a glowing object.
I've seen the sun, but not the source of the sunlight.
You've seen the sun, but not the source of the sunlight. What is the source of the sunlight? The sun, no?
Krishna.
Krishna, oh. No, 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 we're not getting that far. But to see the sun, if you were to see the sun, you would your eyeball would burn up. Because when you look at this, what we call the sun, what do you see? You see only a small disk. What you're calling the sun is only a small disk. Is that true? Is that the sun? That small disk? You can put your thumb up in front of your eye. When you're looking at the sun, you put your thumb out in front of your eye and put it over the sun. You can cover the sun with your thumb. Is that the sun?
Our imperfect senses perceive it as the sun.
We say that's the sun, but it's not the sun. That sun is not such a small disk. Right. That can't be the sun. So what is the problem? What is appearing to us and what is there are two different things. What appears to us and what is actually there.
Maharaj, there is difference in magnitude, right? Like I've seen sun in the clouds in extreme,
yes,
but I couldn't see the sun.
It will also change its size, and in the sunset, the sun becomes bigger because of the way the angle is magnified through the air. It's magnified, so the sun looks bigger on the sunset than in the sky at noon. So, if you go to Mercury, the sun will fill much of the sky. If you look at the sun from Mercury, the closest planet to the sun will be much more bigger in the sky than on Earth. But what is this? Is that the sun, what they were seeing on Mercury? Or what you were seeing on Earth, or what you were seeing on Jupiter? Does the sun change? It doesn't change, but our way we receive the sun, it's called the appearance of the sun to us, is different. It's different from the thing itself. You see? This is the point. What we perceive and what is there, the appearance and that which is appearing, that thing that's appearing, are two different things. But we don't make that distinction. When we look at the sun, that small sphere in the sky, we say that's the sun, isn't it? So like that, the Virata Rup Mahavishnu has his actual existence. But for our materialized vision, how it appears to us, we may make some picture or something like that to imagine it, what it is. But that is not the original thing. That has a different reality. And how to come in touch with that? That will require getting beyond the appearance and learning how that appearance comes to be, and how, what is the process for that appearance coming in into us, and then how to get beyond that. A difficult proposition. How to come in touch with that absolute reality, the truth, without any conditioning. There's another process, not just by seeing. But by transcendental knowledge, we'll have to understand how to come in contact with the Supreme Absolute Truth. So that is by an inconceivable process called bhakti yoga, devotional service. Then we will find by his internal potency, who is Krishna, the eternal form of the Lord exists prior to the creation of the Mahatattva. Mahatattva is the sum total of all the material and elements. And it is stressed here that the eternal form of the Lord is spiritual or transcendental to the material energy. The very same transcendental form of the Lord is manifested by his internal potency. There's a difference, internal potency and external potency. To come to understand the internal potency of the Lord, that will give us some contact with the absolute truth, which the external potency will not be able to give us, because external potency means we are seeing it from the outside, from the appearance. What it appears material world that appears to us. Material world means phenomenal existence. Phenomena mean appearance. So what the appearance is not the thing itself. We'll have to recognize how to distinguish the appearance from the reality, the phenomenal from the noumenal. It's like, how do we know what the sun actually is? We see certain things, but how do we know that the sun is actually? I don't remember how many big times bigger than the Earth. A lot. Much bigger. Much, much bigger. Hundreds of Earths can fit inside the sun.
Something around 300 or something, 3,000.
But anyhow, how do we know that? How do we know that?
In fact, Maharaj, I wanted to...
Well, you have to answer my question first. How do I know that?
Volume is the common...
We have to know that by induction.
Yes.
By induction. We can't see it directly. Can't experience the sun directly, but we know it by induction. Induction, you know what that means? By logic, by reasoning, by thought.
Maharaj, even in mathematics, we have induction where for a series of numbers is that.
Yes. There are different things that we know that with different frequencies of light, speed of light, and things like that, and by angle, mathematics, what is that called, trigonometry, we can understand the different processes by induction, how big the sun is. Otherwise, through directly experience that, we can't do that. But by our induction process, we come to say that the sun is so large, or we come to understand that the sun is that large. And we accept that. Although we don't directly experience, we accept the induction. And that becomes the reality. So it's not that everything is real only because it can be experienced. Well, we don't accept that only the things we experience are real. Rather, what that things that we experience are apparent reality. They are not the real thing. That's the point. What we experience is not the reality. Because our experience only gives what appears to us. The reality has to be understood through induction, through a different way. Not by direct. Not directly. Mediation is required. Different some processes required to understand what is what. So like that, God has to be understood by some process and not immediately given to us. So that process is given in the scripture, is given by Gurudev, and then we can understand if we follow the process. And we should not think that it's only a matter of belief. Because it is not directly perceived, we should not think it's only a matter of belief. We don't believe the sun is so big. We say, no, that is actually that big. Even though we don't see it. So like that. Who has transcendental knowledge? Who has that knowledge of God? It is not for that person a belief anymore. It is knowledge. And certain knowledge. This is very That sounds very extraordinary. But really, it's a part of our ordinary life, these things. If we understand our ordinary life properly, what we are seeing, what we are knowing, if we understand the distinction, then we can see also this applies in our spiritual life. It's the same thing. And the real thing is there found in the spiritual life more than what we think is real in this material world. All right. Any questions on this? Any other questions?
Maharaj?
Yes.
Like present, we of you know we are understanding the scientific measurements and all those, and that you know what is being you know also recorded in our you know what you can say so many like the Saradarshan we are reading our you know Vedic in literatures, Maharaj. So like scientists, some point they may also not able to what you can say understand like you know certain you know large distance things and you know by their you know present technology. So at least they can get some you know what you can say help from this some hint, and they can directly accept certain things we said rather than you know just to accept things by experiments or things like that.
Yes, they understand that this Vedic knowledge is knowledge, is actual knowledge. Knowledge does not mean some illusion, some mythology. Vedic knowledge is there. Knowledge means that there's some truth that is being told. Otherwise, we don't call it knowledge. Veda means knowledge itself. To know. So like I'm saying, what we experience, that does not give us the truth, true knowledge. Experience and knowledge are two different things. What we think we know, what we think is truth. No, knowing knowledge means of truth. To think, to have some knowledge that is not true, that is called illusion. The delusion of knowledge. Illusion of knowledge and actual knowledge. It's not the same thing. Illusion of knowledge means you have something that is not true, that you think is true. Take untruth to be true, that is called illusion. So the knowledge of this material experience is not real knowledge. It's an illusion or maya. Real knowledge is something else, that is of truth. And after that, we will have to take advice from those who are not under the spell of illusion, of the illusory knowledge. And that is Veda. Veda is written by the Supreme Lord himself, who is not under the influence of illusion, coming from those perfect knower of things. And those who have understood that knowledge and realized that knowledge as perfect, they can also tell us something about that beyond, but it's beyond this material kind of knowledge, beyond the ordinary so-called knowledge that we get from experience.
I want to ask,
what's that?
You know, we can think that you know there is a world like you know in this what can you say experience of five senses, and there is a different world in experience of mind, and there is a different world in experience of intelligence. Like that, Maharaj.
I can't hear what you said. Your voice is not very loud.
Maharaj, there is a world in the experience of five senses, and there is a world in the what you can say. Experience of the mind or intelligence, like that we can think about it. And there is some world which is real beyond all this what you can say incorrect experiences.
Yes. What is the question?
Either what is real, like, you know, some experiences we have with the five senses, and the experience we have from mind, like that.
Yes. Then, what is your question?
Whether it is real, that world.
The world of the senses and the mind?
Yeah.
Well, like I'm saying, it may be real, but it's not true. It's a real experience. But when you're dreaming, that's a real experience also. But what is it an experience of? That what you're experiencing is not in itself true, not genuine. It's only a dream. Like the illusion in the desert. As an experience, you think there's water and you go to that. But when you get there, you find it is not what you thought it was. So like that material existence, material experience, seems to be real. But when we try to grasp it, it will slip through our fingers. When Nobel laureate Albert Zenzsorgi won the Nobel Prize in medicine, I think, he said, "I am searching for life, and after going through all the chemicals of life, it has somehow slipped through my fingers like grains of sand. I couldn't find life in all those chemicals." We know that there's a biological organism and that it's alive. But if you try to find out what is that life by just analyzing the chemicals, you only end up with chemicals. The life won't be there. See, so there's life. We know we are alive. That animals, plants, all these things are alive. But if you try to look at the chemical part of that, the material part of it, you won't be able to find any life there at all. Rather, the material thing is dead. So we're missing something. In the material sphere, material atmosphere, there's something missing. And even the mind. Mind is also very ethereal if you try to grasp what it is. Very hard to grasp the mind. But behind the mind there is something else. A consciousness. You can be conscious, you are aware of what's going on in your mind. The consciousness is not in the mind, it's beyond the mind. Otherwise, how you can be conscious of what's going on in the mind, the thoughts and so forth. So there's always something more. And if you try to grasp that something more, you will be disappointed. You won't have it, what you're looking for. What you are looking for and the person who is looking for it, these are two different things. The object and the subject. You can know the object, but to know the knower of the object, that's a difficult proposition. All right. Any other question?
The soul is actually layer by layer covered, actually. So that's why it is
Why is your voice so? Why is the volume so low on your voice? It seems very hard to hear you.
It's okay, Maharaj, now?
A little better.
Okay, Maharaj. Maharaj, actually, the soul is covered by layer, it seems. And when the layers are removed, then what world it will experience, that is the real world. So,
yes.
So that's what all about our spiritual practice is, Manas.
Yes. Purification.
Raja.
What's that?
Raja, I didn't get that soul is covered by layer and layer names exactly.
Material covering is of 8 layers. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and ego. And 8 coverings. Penetrate through those coverings. You'll come to the level of the soul. Sankhya philosophy tells us this, that the 8 material elements, and some will say 16, some will say 24, depending on how they analyze it. But there are many coverings that produce the material energy. Coverings means basically ignorance, different levels of ignorance. Ignorance means that we take knowledge of the wrong thing to be knowledge, the untrue thing to be knowledge. That makes the covering. If you think you're the ego, if you think you have some position here in this world, that's ego. That is also a kind of ignorance of your real self. So we have to rid ourselves of all that kind of misconception. It's all have intelligence.
You copy me at all? This is Andy Jack. Andy?
Who's that?
This is Andy here in the USA.
Well, hi, Andy. What are you saying?
Hi. The trouble with distinguishing between id, ego, the electron, all these Freudian and Carl Rogers wrote some stuff about this also. But to find out knowledge, if you can gain knowledge from your id or your ego, then you could possibly be on the right track of intelligence. Does that make any sense or not? Of supreme intelligence, I guess.
Mm.
Can you really separate the two? You may be able to separate man from woman because of their electra. But the id and the ego, I guess I do have a problem with that.
What is the id?
Well, that's what I'm trying to distinguish. What in your preachings, you must have id in there somewhere. The id is, I can't explain it. I really can't. I've had it explained to me.
Freud had 3 terms, id, ego, and superego.
Right.
So the id is the unconscious part of yourself. It is unknown part of yourself.
But now how do we recognize that?
Basically, it means the material body. Basically, it means the material matter. Matter is the unconscious. This is where consciousness has not been developed. Undeveloped consciousness, we can say that is matter. Matter means undeveloped consciousness. As I was always saying, ignorance. Matter is ignorance. And what we don't know, we have to investigate it to understand it. We have to look into it to uncover what is there. We use our intelligence to uncover what is there in the id or the matter. Otherwise, matter comes to us as an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
What has to be researched, what has to be investigated. And then by research, investigation, we can come to understand what is matter. We can bring it to consciousness. Then ego. Ego is the separated self. The self that doesn't understand the reality of which it is actually, to which it is actually identified with. Ego
is identified with.
Ego is identifying with matter. It identifies with the unknown. It identifies with ignorance. That is ego.
But really, is an ego. Is an ego a driving force for? It would seem to me that the ego is the driving force periodically of success. You can say success because you...
Success in this material world is a failure in the spiritual world. Because you remain involved in the material sphere. You remain involved with matter. You see, ego is actually to be identified with the third element which you have not mentioned. And which we might mention also, which is superego.
Okay. Yes, I understand.
Has to be identified with the superego, the real, the absolute universal ego.
But Freud did not say that the ego was a bad thing. He didn't identify it as a negative.
Yeah, but he doesn't know. He is only in the material conception, he is absorbed in the material conception. But according to Veda, there is a spiritual conception. And the ego and superego have a different meaning in the spiritual conception. For Freud, superego was a kind of universal ego. That was universal. It wasn't just located within the individual person. It was something that controlled all persons. Sort of like the commonly accepted way of thinking. What is normal, superego, and not merely some kind of aberration. So ego was in that sense bad, and that it was, if it wasn't connected with the superego properly, then it was an aberration. What do they call that? Pathological. But our idea is a little different than that. Superego is not just the universal common thing, but is transcendental. It's connected with the transcendental personality of Godhead. We call that Krishna. And only when one has understood his relationship with God, then his true ego can manifest itself. It's true self. We don't call it ego at that, but we call it self. And Freud did not make a distinction so much between ego and self. We find other psychologists have done that. I think Jung made that distinction.
I think Skinner did too, didn't he?
I don't know. Skinner, he's a behaviorist.
Yeah, I know.
He has a different idea.
Right, okay.
He doesn't really believe in a self.
Well, I've got to get out of here, and now I've got something to quandary and think about here for a few minutes. You've raised a great deal of questions in my mind.
Okay.
Thank you.
You read the Bhagavad Gita, it explains many things that we are reading now. You can read that. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Kristen, what do you have to say? The soul is all knowledge. Yes, here's Satchitananda. Full of knowledge and bliss. Eternal, full of knowledge and bliss, Satchitananda. To Sundar Gopal. Disconnected.
He's offline, Maharaj. Sundar Gopal is offline.
Yeah. Any other questions, or shall we go on to the next one? All right, go on to the fourth sloka, 1-3-4. Prasantyado rupam atal prachakshusha.
Prasantyado rupam atal prachakshusha.
Sahasrapado rupuchan anantam.
Sahasrapado rupuchan anantam.
Janabhutam.
Sahasramurda shavanaski dasikam. Sahasramurdhasvasarvanasikam. Sahasramulyambarakundalolasat. Sahasramurda Shavanakshi Dashikam Sahasramolambara Kundalodasat. Vasyanti, to see Adak, the form of the Purusha, Rupam, the form. Adabra, perfect, Chakshusha, by the eyes. Sahasrapada, thousands of legs. Uru, thighs, Bhujananga. Bhuja, Anana, hands and faces. Adbhutam, wonderful, Sahasra, thousands of. Murda, heads, Shravan. Shravana, ears, Akshi, eyes, Nashikam, noses, Sahasra, thousands, Moli, garlands, Ambara, dresses, Kundala, earrings, Ulasat, all glowing. Translation. Dr. Craig, would you like to read? Translation and purport.
Bumped so much, I don't know what's going on.
What's that?
I said I've been getting bumped so much, I don't know what's going on. I know we're out of translation. The devotees with their perfect eyes transform.
Oh my.
Just a second, Maharaj. I'm calling him back. He's getting dropped.
Oh. All right, Jonathan, you read? Oh, okay. He's come back.
Yes, Maharaj. Translation. The devotees with their perfect eyes see the transcendental form of the Purush who has thousands of legs, thighs, arms, and faces, all extraordinary. In that body, there are thousands of heads, ears, eyes, and noses. They are decorated with thousands of helmets and glowing earrings and are adorned with garlands. Purport. With our present materialized senses, we cannot perceive anything of the Transcendental Lord. Our present senses are to be rectified by the process of devotional service, and then the Lord Himself becomes revealed to us. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is confirmed that the Transcendental Lord can be perceived only by pure devotional service. So it is confirmed in the Vedas that only devotional service can lead one to the side of the Lord, and that only devotional service can reveal Him. In the Brahma Sanghita, also, it is said that the Lord is always visible to the devotees whose eyes have been anointed with the tinge of devotional service. So we have to take information of the transcendental form of the Lord from persons who have actually seen Him with perfect eyes smeared with devotional service. In the material world also, we do not always see things with our own eyes. We sometimes see through the experience of those who have actually seen or done things. If that is the process for experiencing a mundane object, it is more perfectly applicable in matters of transcendental. So only with patience and perseverance can we realize the transcendental subject matter regarding the Absolute Truth and His different forms. He is formless to the neophytes, but He is in transcendental form to the expert servitor.
So the process for seeing the Lord is what? Devotional service. We see by lovingly serving the Lord. We we can see the Lord by lovingly serving Him. He reserves the right of not revealing Himself to those who do not have faith and love in Him, and submission and surrender to His will. He will not be seen by them. And to those who serve Him, who accept His will as their direction, in life, they will be able to see Him very easily. Easily come in contact with Him. It is a process. If you love God and you are willing to accept His will as your direction in life, then you can easily see. You'll be able to see Him in every moment. And those who do not take up that process, they will only be able to see the material energy, the covering. It will be covered for them. Bhaktimam avijananti, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bhaktimam avijananti, I can be known by bhakti only. Tesham satyata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buri yogam tam. Inamam upayanti te, those who are constantly worshipping me, chanting my name, and glorifying me, praising me, with love, with priti, with devotion, then they get the intelligence to see, to come to Krishna. All right. Any other questions, comments? We may not see directly things, but by going to school, hearing from the teacher, we can understand many things about history and geography. If we have not been to a particular place in the world, in this school, we can learn from those who have been there, from books that have been written about that place. We can learn about those things. We don't have to go there personally to know about it. In the same way, in the books of the scriptures, for those who have seen the spiritual reality, they can explain it to us and we can get some idea of that. We don't have to directly experience it. We can experience it through hearing and learn about those things and understand of their actual existence.
Maharaj?
What's that?
Why, Maharaj, hearing has placed so much of importance, like in a sound. Sound from everything is manifesting. So other senses are not being so important than hearing, Maharaj.
Just like, what can you see with your eyes? How far can you see? You can't see Australia. You can hear about Australia, but you can't see it. You can't touch Australia, but you can hear about it. You can't taste the food there. Again, only hearing and what type of food they eat. Smelling, again, limited. Hearing is not so limited. Hearing can extend further than all the other senses. Because of the word. Hearing, but it only means sound in the environment, but the word. The word, logos. In the Bible it says, in the beginning was the word. So there, shabda. We call that shabda. That hearing of the word. It carries a meaning. And that meaning carries this the reality of things that are not within our limited provincial perspective. So hearing takes on that additional significance. Not only hearing environmental sounds, but if hearing the word, which carries a meaning far beyond merely the sound. All right. Okay, I think we better end now at 10:01. Everyone can say Hare Krishna to one another.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Jai Shri Mata Puri Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Bol.
Namaskar Maharaj. Thank you.